Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Network Saturday, April 6th, 2019. This is episode 1580. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Capterra. Find the right tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Visit Capterra's free website at capterra.com/techguy. And by Carbonite, the premier data protection platform for business, with customizable cloud and hybrid backup for your servers. To learn more, visit carbonite.com. And by DigitalOcean, deploy your apps on the simplest cloud platform with no surprises. Join a community of over 3.5 million developers at DigitalOcean. Sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Yeah, it's time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography. We got smartphones, we got smartwatches, we got augmented reality. But no more singing, I promise, I swear. We're going to talk high tech today. Website is techguylabs.com. If you hear something on the show and you say, well, I want to know more about that, all the links will be up there, all the information, even audio and video. After the fact, techguylabs.com, and that's free. There's no sign up, so don't feel like you have to, you know, pay or anything like that. You can't. Good luck trying. I don't believe we have any way to do that unless somebody comes up to you on the street and says, pay for Tech Guy Labs, and that's phony, which kind of leads me to our topic of the day, which is if somebody came up to you and said, hi, I'm Leo Laporte's duly inaugurated representative here on Earth, and I would like $5 to pay for the website. I know he said it's free, but I want that money, and Leo won't let you use it unless you give it to me. Would you give him $5? No, you wouldn't. And yet, essentially, that's what we're getting every single day in our email, in our text messages, on our Facebook pages, is just nutty solicitations that no one in their right mind should fall for. And yet, there's something about it, I guess, if it comes in email and if it pretends to be your bank or the IRS, if you get a phone call from a robotic voice, I get these regularly, and now that we're getting close to tax time, I expect to get more. Hello, this is the IRS. We are placing a lien on all your income. And you need to call us right now. Of course, it's not the IRS. You know, can I just say that right now? The IRS is not going to call you with a robotic voice. Or at all. They'll send you a letter. They like to send letters. But this is a problem. And it is related to something we're seeing in the headlines these days. Last year, they were saying year 2018 was the year of ransomware. Well, guess what? The year 2019 is worse. Ransomware is everywhere. We can't get away from it. And in almost every case, the stories you hear about companies getting shut down by ransomware, the stories you hear about companies getting hacked, are because of email attachments and emails going into the companies. Just this week, Arizona Beverages. You know, they make the Arizona iced tea. They're one of the biggest beverage suppliers in the U.S. Huge ransomware attack last month. We just found out about it this week. The company is still rebuilding its network 2 weeks after the attack. The attack wiped hundreds of Windows computers and servers, shut down sales operations for days. If you don't think that cost them a pretty penny, think again. In fact, they couldn't even figure out what was going on. More than 200 servers and network computers, desktop computers, laptops displayed this message. Your network was hacked and encrypted. The ransom note had the company's name in it, which means it was a targeted attack. Make note of that in your mind. Put a pin in that because I'm going to come back to that. And once again, we saw this last month at Norsk Hydro, the big aluminum manufacturer in Norway, like number two aluminum manufacturer. Handwritten signs in the doorway as you come into the office. Do not power on. Do not copy files. Do not connect to our network. For two reasons. One, your laptop may be compromised now. We don't want you to bring in more malware. Two, there's malware in our network. We don't want to infect your laptop. The company struggled for 5 days before they finally said, we can't figure this out. Here's the really sad thing. Many of the back-end servers were running old and outdated, not updated, outdated Windows operating systems, hadn't received security patches in years. In other words, they were sitting ducks in the network. Worse, the backups didn't work. A day after the attack hit, staff found the backup system wasn't configured properly. They couldn't retrieve their data for days. Finally, they brought in the pros from Dover, Cisco, and I guess Cisco was able to rebuild the entire network from scratch. They basically wiped everything and started over. Since the outbreak, the company has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on new hardware, software, recovery costs. Somebody on the IT staff said, once the backups didn't work, we started throwing money at the problem. Oh, and all of this, and I'll tell you, and I can guarantee you, well, in fact, I know, because we know what ransomware they got. All of this because somebody at the company opened an email attachment. They got something called DryDex. It's delivered through malicious email attachments. Once it's installed, the attacker can do a number of things, including wander around the network, steal passwords, monitor network traffic, and deliver additional malware. If they want ransomware, but in some cases not. For instance, Asus computers. Remember that story from last week? Turned out they had sent malicious software to thousands of Asus laptops, signed by Asus through the Asus app update tool. So if you're an Asus user, you wouldn't know any different. The weird thing, and it's actually explicable, but the weird thing is the malware checked your computer's MAC address, which is the specific networking address unique to every computer, and only activated on 600 computers with those specific addresses. And the reason is it was a targeted attack, most likely from a nation state that knew exactly which laptops they wanted to get malware onto so they could wander around. Maybe it was a company, more likely an embassy or a country or a diplomatic corps, something like that, right? These are targeted attacks. So there's two things that happen. Your employee gets an email. So this is from the boss. Quick, open this spreadsheet and work on it. You open it. It's not from the boss. It's not a spreadsheet. It infects your computer. And then the attacker can wander around. And as with many of these breaches, they wander around and just gather stuff, credit card numbers, passwords, more resources, you know. Or sometimes they just put ransomware on there and send you a note saying, hey, send me money. All because of a malicious email attachment. What do I say? Please repeat after me. Do not open attachments, especially sometimes I'll see the advice if it comes from somebody you don't know. No. No one is dumb enough to open an attachment from somebody you don't know, especially if it comes from somebody you know, especially the boss or the IRS, somebody that would scare you into jumping. And that's what's been happening, and it's happening again and again and again and again. Oh, man, it's called spear phishing. It's phishing. Phishing means we're looking for somebody to bite. Spear phishing is a targeted phishing attack against companies. Holy cow. A little public service announcement. One of the venues for this is a program half a billion Windows users have on their computer called WinRAR. If you have WinRAR, go find it on your Windows computer. Immediately update it. It's a massive hole in it. That's an example. It's just sitting there waiting to be attacked. All right, enough preaching. Let's get to your phone calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's go to the phones on the line with me. Our first call of the day. It is line 3, Kyle in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Leo.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I got your favorite subject to talk about, Facebook security.
Facebook security, or insecurity, as it may be.
Insecurity, yes. Yeah. Do you know Facebook's listened to your microphone when you had the Facebook app installed on your smartphone.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and every time me or my mom goes on Facebook, we always see ads that something we're talking about in the previous time period.
You know, I hear these suppositions all the time. My daughter told me the other day that she had a friend who had Instagram open, and she said the word baby duck. She was over and over again, and then she got ads for baby ducks in her Instagram feed. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I'll tell you why. Here's a couple of things. First of all, what are there, 1.5 billion users of Facebook? Most of them on mobile. If Facebook were leaving the microphone open all the time for 1.5 billion users, that'd be an awful lot of data, a huge amount of data, streaming from your phone to theirs, their servers, all the time, not to mention the processing power to process it. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is somebody, maybe not you, but somebody would notice it. You'd notice, of course, you might notice the bandwidth, because if you think about it, if you're uploading your audio all the time to Facebook, that's a significant bandwidth use. But even then, you probably wouldn't necessarily know what it is, but there are plenty of people who can analyze network traffic. Probably quite a few people listening to this show could fire up a program like Wireshark, look at that network traffic, and say, look at that. My phone keeps sending something that looks like audio to Facebook. So if Facebook were to do such a thing, or Google, or Amazon, or Instagram, or any of these systems, these voice assistant systems, were to be doing that, we'd know it. And man, would the alarm go up. People would be insane. It would be a huge deal. It's not happening. I know it seems like it, and I think one of the problems humans are not very good at is understanding, A, coincidence, and B, the fact that Facebook knows so much about you, it doesn't need to listen to you. And that's the real reason I don't think they're doing it. I mean, I could think of a lot of reasons, you know, that it's hard to prove negative, right? You can't prove the negative. But I can think of a lot of, you know, evidence that they're not doing it. But really, the bottom line is, why would they bother? They already know everything they need to know about you. They've got a very good handle on what you're interested in. In fact, if you're a Facebook member, as you surf the net, you know, you see all those Facebook like buttons, the Facebook login buttons, they're noticing what you're doing. I don't think you need to assume that Facebook's listening to you to figure out that they have a pretty good idea of what you're interested in. So don't be paranoid. Facebook's not listening to you. Your Amazon Echo isn't. The Echo's listening, but not listening. It's not sending back data to Amazon. It's listening for its trigger words and matching all the sound that come in through its microphones to a waveform that looks like one of the three trigger words for the Amazon Echo. If it sees that, then, and only then, it starts sending it back to the home office. Same thing for OK, Google, and all the other voice-activated assistants. They get activated, then they send off the information to the home office. So while I am no fan of Facebook's security and privacy, and I'm very quick to say so, in this case, I don't think you have to worry about it. Let's not get too paranoid, right? No, they're not listening. Let's go to line 4, Fred in Fontana, California. Hi, Fred.
Hello. Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. I got kind of a goofy question. I don't know, a dumb question, but
I like dumb questions. Please give me a dumb, easier to answer.
I have an old computer that has Outlook 2000. And I got a brand new computer that has Outlook 360, and I was trying to copy over the contacts, and I tried with the old PST, save as PST, but just didn't seem to work.
Yeah, I don't know if the PST files, maybe they changed from 2007. There is an export command. Don't export it as, well, actually, you can export as a PST. I wouldn't try to read the whole PST file. Try exporting the individual contacts calendars separately. And then importing, and
I tried that.
You can't do that either.
And it didn't take it.
Try a different format then. It has other formats like comment separated and tab separated values, CSV and TSV. It also would probably offer VCF for the address book and ICS for the calendar. These are other standardized formats. I would try those. What happens when it tries? Does it say I can't read it, or do you just don't get anything? Or
I just don't get anything. I try to import it into the 360, and it goes through its whole thing, and then there's nothing.
It looks like it's doing something, but there's nothing. There's no entries.
Yes.
Yeah. I would try exporting it to another format. If the Outlook file itself is bad or something else is going on, this should get around it.
Okay.
All right.
Just one more question, if I
sure.
can. Now, with my new computer, it's a Dell. It's a Dell computer, and it's a brand new computer with Windows 10. Now, it comes with McAfee. The trial expired.
Good.
I have Windows Defender on it.
Uninstall it.
Am I okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm no fan.
Am I okay with Windows Defender?
Yeah. It's one of the best antiviruses out there. It comes with Windows. It's free. More importantly, Microsoft's done a lot to protect you with Windows Defender. It has a new sandbox mode, and I honestly think Defender is more than enough. Here's the problem. When you install something like McAfee or any other antivirus, you're in a way, you're putting a Trojan on your system, because in order for antiviruses to work, they have to operate at a very low level on the operating system. And if they have any flaws, they can actually be a conduit for bad guys into your system. And that has happened both with McAfee and Symantec. So you don't get additional protection. Any program you install raises the risk of, you know, causing more problems. And in fact, an antivirus particularly so because of its low level. And it also costs money. So let's not. And in fact, if you're going to uninstall it, go to the McAfee site. They have a standalone uninstaller that will do a better job. Same thing with Symantec. Use the...
Go straight to their site.
Yeah, you can do the uninstall routine, but I would still go to their site and look for... I'm pretty sure McAfee does. I know Symantec does. They have standalone uninstallers that are more efficient, more effective. They get rid of more files. You don't need it.
Right.
You got a great antivirus. You're all set.
Great. I love your show, and thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Hey, appreciate your calling. Thanks for listening. I'm maybe an iconoclast on this one. I don't think so. Anytime I talk to a security person, I ask them, what do you think? They say, yeah, no, you don't need antiviruses. Modern computers are pretty well protected. Mac OS has its own system. Windows 10 has its own system. Really, as a user, your behavior is the most important thing. Don't open files from strangers. Don't click links from strangers or from anybody. Actually, don't open emails, even from people you know, if they have attachments, don't open them. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, that magic music, that magic Red Hot Chili Pepper music means it's time for our guy in the front row, Scott Wilkinson, our home theater geek, a contributor at techhive.com, and our welcome home theater expert. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
Good to see you. Scott's all about the big screen, all about the surround sound, the Atmos and all that. I was watching last night, there's a new movie on Netflix called Highwaymen, which is about the two... former Texas Rangers who caught Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, no kidding.
Kevin Costner and the stoner from, what's his name? Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson, yeah. He's the stoner.
The stoner from Cheers is what I wanted to say. But anyway, he's great, though. I love him as an actor, and I love Kevin Costner. And it's a great movie. And at the end of it, I see Atmos sound. Mm-hmm. This is on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix does Atmos sound, absolutely.
So if you have...
On certain titles.
Yeah, not all titles. This is a Netflix, made-for-Netflix movie, so that's...
Oh, yeah.
It looked great. It was an HDR, really looked...
Probably HDR, probably yep. Dolby Vision.
Looked beautiful on the screen.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then, of course, to make that work, I'd need an Atmos decoding streaming device. I was watching it on the new Apple TV, which supports Atmos, I'm
yep.
happy to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I don't have the rest of the chain. You need an AV receiver and Atmos speakers and all of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't notice my receiver said Atmos, which I thought was encouraging.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Your receiver is a Denon, I think.
It is. And I do keep it up to date.
It might very well support it.
Maybe it's not Atmos era. It's a couple of 3 years old. But I will check, because eventually I want to get those up-firing speakers that would give me that full surround from above.
Oh, yeah. It really is an impressive thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I highly recommend it. And if you can't put speakers, actual physical speakers, on your ceiling, then those up-firing ones that you basically put on top of the ones that are your main speakers
do a
fine job as well.
Looks pretty good.
If you have the right kind of ceiling.
Yes.
Which I think you do. It's flat with no asbestos, no acoustic tiles.
It's just
popcorn ceiling.
Reflective drywall is what it is.
Right. That's what you need. Yeah. Exactly right.
Good. Well, I will maybe I have firmware updates, or maybe it could be the Denon's just reporting whatever the text it got, except
it could be the metadata coming in.
I don't know what to do with it, but I'm getting Atmos.
Whatever the heck that is.
Anyway, I thought I'd mention that because it's good news. I know you're a big fan of Atmos, and it means that Netflix and others are starting to produce Atmos sound in their streaming movies.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, Steven Spielberg, but streaming movies are movies. They ought to be eligible for the Academy Award.
I agree with you entirely. I disagree with Steven. Yeah. I think if it's a movie, it's a movie.
Yep.
The means by which you see it or consume it, whether you go out to a theater or stay at home, shouldn't really matter.
And in fact, I would argue with you, Mr. Spielberg, because honestly, aren't the Oscars about the best art, the best? And does it have to be seen in a theater? No. And in fact, something like Roma, which was an amazing movie produced for Netflix, and that appeared in a few motion pictures just to qualify for the Oscars.
In a few theaters just to qualify.
Really was, I think, the best picture of the year. And in terms of artistic work, it was amazing. And it may be, in fact, that producers, directors, actors, writers will have a better venue with some of these streaming companies. Apple's pouring billions in. Netflix is pouring billions in. Amazon's pouring billions in. And they might have a more forgiving, open, artistic mind, and in which case you might see better movies on streaming.
Especially since I just read yesterday that with the Disney acquisition of Fox Entertainment, they are immediately shuttering, closing Fox 2000.
Oh, my goodness. No more movies.
No. They'll still be movies, but Fox 2000 was interesting in that they produced movies that were more out of the mainstream.
Yes.
You know, they weren't superhero movies, franchise movies. Life of Pi came out of Fox 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think what's going to happen if the Oscars reject streaming movies is you're going to get big blockbusters, and that's it, to vote on the Oscars. And the most artistic, interesting movies from directors like Cuarón are going to end up on streaming, and you're going to be
not in the Oscars.
And not in the Oscars. You're going to really be missing the boat. So Mr. Spielberg, with all due respect, let my movies go. Okay. Now, you have a question from a listener.
I do. Yeah. I got an email from Scott Hogman, who says, I'm looking for a reasonably priced stereo receiver with Bluetooth. It must also have a tape monitor for my Bose 901 speakers. And he also would like to get one that has phono inputs for a turntable. Now, I'm sure you must remember.
I don't know where you can get phono inputs on anything anymore.
Well,
you
can. You
really?
Absolutely can. Yeah, yeah. I found it difficult to find, first of all, stereo receivers, that is, two-channel audio receivers, are not common.
No, of them are surround now.
All of them are surround.
But you don't have to use all 5.1 speakers.
No, that's true.
You can do stereo, just connect the left and right and leave it at that.
Right. But the real problem. And Bluetooth is becoming more common, too. The real problem is finding a receiver that has what's called a tape loop, or sometimes an effects loop, which basically sends the signal out of the receiver before it hits the amplifiers, sends it to the equalizer that the Bose 901 speakers require.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah.
I do remember that.
They got sold with the equalizer.
That's right. And you can't use them without it.
Yep.
But you have to hook it up to the receiver using this sort of tape loop type thing. And then from the equalizer, it goes back into the receiver and finally to the amplifiers, which then power the speakers, the Bose 901 speakers. I did find a couple that almost meet his requirements. There's the Yamaha R-S202, which lists for $180,
wow.
But on the Yamaha website it's now $130. It has a tape loop. It has Bluetooth, but it does not have a phono input.
Yeah.
Phono inputs are a little less common as well, but they're still pretty common because vinyl, as you know,
it's back, baby.
It's back, baby.
I don't buy
That's
that
right.
for a minute, but okay.
No. Among audiophiles, it's very revered.
Yeah.
The next one up I want to mention is the Yamaha again, R-S700, which is discontinued, but you might be able to find it somewhere. It has a phono input and tape loop, but it doesn't have Bluetooth.
Let me ask you a question that's a little more general, because sure. Somebody called a couple of weeks ago and asked. He had a Yamaha receiver, and he said it didn't sound as good as an old receiver, still solid state, but an older receiver. And I thought maybe these new receivers, because listen to that price, $100, $200.
$150.
Maybe
yeah.
They're not using DACs and amps that are quite as good as an older system. You think that's possible?
That is possible. Yeah, that is possible. They need to always in product design, you're looking at what price point do we want
yeah.
to hit,
yeah.
right? And so you make compromises here or there. Andrew Jones, the great speaker designer at ELAC, has said the same thing. He said, I have a budget and a price point I need to hit, and right. I put my money here rather than there.
Right. You make those choices.
You make those choices.
You don't have an infinite budget. And
that's
the same
right.
thing. So when you get an inexpensive AV receiver, what you may be giving up is the quality of the digital analog converters. That's important
Correct.
These days because everything's mm-hmm. digital getting converted to analog for your speakers. And
right.
the amplifiers that create the level that go
power the speakers.
Power the speakers.
Yeah.
And those things really are important to the overall audio chain.
They really are. Yeah. And you pay less and you probably get somewhat less quality. I want to quickly mention the top end option here, which is the Outlaw RR2160. That lists for $850, so it's expensive. And it doesn't have Bluetooth, which means you'd need to buy a Bluetooth receiver,
those
a little extra
cheap, though.
Box, which are cheap, $50, $100.
And honestly, it probably has pretty good decks.
Oh, man, that thing's got really good sound.
Scott,
I have no doubt of that.
Scott Wilkinson, our home theater geek, is at techhive.com and joins us every week. Thank you, Scott.
You bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Back to the phones we go. And line one, Brian in Indio, California. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I've been having a problem with my echo.
Uh-oh.
Or should I say my...
Echo. Say echo. Don't say the A word. Your Alyosha?
Alexandria.
It's kind of a problem because, you know, there's a... last week, Scott Wilkinson was talking about a cinema camera that's very popular, the A word 65 from Arri. It's not related to the Echo, but I guess we just can't say the A word anymore. Alexa, the trigger word for Echoes. In fact, it's interesting, the number of young girls being named Alexa has plummeted since the Echo came out. Rightly so. Anyway, what's your problem?
Well, for about the past week, it's been having a little attitude.
Uh-oh.
Every once in a while, I'll ask it a question, and it'll say, sorry, something happened, try again in a few minutes.
That's your internet being down.
Well, we've got a new router, so that's not it. It doesn't.
No, that is it. No, that's it. It happens to me. It happens to everybody. If your internet is not working, that's exactly the response you'll get from the Echo. Sorry, I'm having trouble. And the fact that you just got a new router doesn't mean it's all gone. Maybe it isn't paired properly to the router, or maybe the router didn't solve whatever. I bet you got a new router because you were having this problem. And it didn't solve it. But that's absolutely what that response is. I wish Amazon, frankly, it would be a lot more helpful if Amazon said something like, I don't have an internet connection right now. That would be so much more helpful. But that's what it says when it doesn't have an internet connection. So you can, Rocket 88's telling me, and I've never tried this, you can ask it You can say, are you connected to the internet right now? I wonder if you're connected right now. Let me try that. That's really cool. Is my, my Echo must have gotten unplugged. That's another problem. Somebody unplugged my Echo. All right, because I was going to try that, because I'd like to see if that's it. So apparently you can say, I don't know exactly what the term would be. It would probably be something like, Echo, are you connected right now? Ask that. Echo, are you connected right now? I'm looking to see. Yeah, in my experience, every time the Echo says I'm having some trouble right now, ask me later, that is the Wi-Fi has failed. So it's perhaps, you know, you got when you got your Wi-Fi, I bet you that's why you got a new router, right? You were having trouble? You still are. That's the answer. Let's say hi to Ellie. Aloha to Ellie in Hawaii. Aloha, Ellie.
Aloha. You coming to visit me?
Coming
huh?
to Kauai. What island are you on? Oh, you're on the Big Island.
Oahu.
Oahu. That's okay.
Yeah. I guess you're not coming to visit me.
Well, no. I was thinking maybe we're going through Oahu, but no, we're flying direct to Kauai. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that's a nice quiet place to be.
That's where we wanted. We wanted quiet and rainy, like all the time, right? That's what we're going to get.
Yep.
Nonstop.
Yep. Yeah, basically, yeah.
There is a dry side, I hope.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, good. How long have you lived in Hawaii, Ellie?
About 20 years.
Wow. And why did you move there in the first place?
Well, I like the weather.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're in the tropics.
The winters. I hate the winters.
Yeah.
Well, now, it's not really tropics. It's subtropics, but it's still nice.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I know Ellie for a long time because she's called before. For a long time, she ran a site, Hawaii for the Rest of Us, for people with disabilities visiting Hawaii. And I know that Ellie is... Are you blind or just low vision?
Legally blind, I have some vision.
Okay. But you've always been my expert on accessibility on the iPhone, for among other
things.
Yeah,
well, I still keep up with it.
Good. Good.
And I still help other people for no cost.
That's nice of you.
I know. I like doing that.
Yeah, you're a nice person. Well, what can I do to help the helper?
I want to get a GoPro camera, and it's confusing because... They have three different colors, white, silver, and black. And I hate the white one, but yet it says if you're just starting out to get the white one. And I don't want
to... Yeah, it's not about color. With GoPro, it's not about color. They're different. They're all heroes. There's the Hero 7 black, Hero 7 silver, Hero 7 white. And it has to do with capabilities. So it's a little confusing. I guess they are those colors. Maybe not. Yeah, I guess they are. But the best, of course, is the Hero Black.
The black one.
Yeah.
And that's the most expensive.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then there's the Hero Fusion. That's a 360-degree camera. So they say, it's interesting they say that. I guess they, here's my suggestion. Why? What are you getting the GoPro for? What do you want to do with it?
Oh, you know what? People surf, take pictures of surfing and things like that.
Oh, you want the waterproof capability?
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a... little case for it, but they're not expensive. And then, and you like the white, it's pretty wide angle. You kind of, that's kind of fun for surfing and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And they're small. It's waterproof down to 33 feet. So actually that's pretty small.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the white would do that at $199. Now it's $100 more for the silver. It gets better video. That's the biggest difference, by the way, is the quality
of the
video.
I think the white's ugly anyway, so I don't
want. Oh, you don't even like the color. All right, well, I'm going to send you a curveball then. You ready for a curveball?
Yep.
The company, a Chinese company called Xiaomi, makes a the GoPro category is action cam.
Right.
Xiaomi makes an excellent action cam called the Yi Cam. And I actually prefer the Yi Cam to the GoPro. It's very similar in size and so forth. They make it, it's 4K. They make it waterproof. They sell it in the United States. It's, a very good camera, very aggressively priced. Same price as you'd get a GoPro White, the roughly $200. You can get a 4K Yi Cam with a waterproof case.
Cool.
So they sell them on Amazon. Yi is Y-I. They're about the same size and shape as a GoPro. I replaced my GoPro with a Yi Cam, and I've been very happy. There's another advantage. I worry about GoPro. You know, they've been having some financial difficulty. I think they're a company that's, I don't know if they've come back, but they've had some problems. And so I'm thinking, you know, Xiaomi is not going anywhere. They're a really big, successful Chinese company. So it might be my guess that they're going to be around a little longer. I really like the Yi Cam. Take a look at it. And I don't know if anybody, I don't know if anybody has an opinion in the chat room. Some people, Kupua 808 says GoPro has made strides. So that's good news if they're doing better. And Compter, who I don't know if he's used both, but he says the Hero 7 is better. I don't know. I have the Hero Fusion because I was one of the best 360 cameras out there. And I had problems with the software. It was kind of funky software. I felt like GoPro had kind of, I don't know, ignored the product a little bit. So I didn't have the best experience. On the other hand, the Yi Cam is great, and it's much less expensive. So I would say go ahead, get the Yi Cam, and then let me know, okay?
Okay.
Great,
I have to tell you something, though.
Yeah.
There's four catchwords for the ALEXA.
What's that? Oh, four. There's computer. There's
right.
Amazon. There's ALEXA. What's the fourth? Oh, is it Echo?
ECHO.
Oh, you can use Echo. Okay.
Right.
So four. I said three. All right. Four.
Right. Yep.
Thank you for the correction. Thank you for counting.
No problem. I just want everybody to know out there.
And Ellie, I'm going to say a big aloha, which means...
Aloha to you, too.
Goodbye for now, but I'm on my way.
All right.
Take
See
care.
See you in April.
Leah Laporte, the Tech Guy. The Tech Guy podcast brought to you today. And by the way, yes, I know I'm in Hawaii. That's why I look different. But we have a brand new show all made just for you. So I hope you're enjoying it. We'll get back to it in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsors at Capterra. Capterra is actually a boon to me because people used to call the Tech Guy and say, I run a veterinary office and I need software for our business. And I'd have to say, well, I am not an expert on business software. Or maybe they'd Google it and get a whole bunch of listings of who knows what, just a dog pile of dog grooming software, whatever. Instead, I recommend you go to the best business software searching site ever, Capterra. Capterra is amazing. 700 specific categories of business software. Everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management, dog grooming business, everything. And the key is, I know that the worst software you run on a day-to-day basis, almost always, is that line of business program that you had custom written 12 years ago for Windows XP, or worse, you know, you bought out of the box in 1998. And it still thinks you're running Windows 98. I mean, this stuff is awful. But the good news is there's great business software out there, up-to-date modern business software, a lot of it running as a web application, great new features. It's out there waiting for you. You just have to find it, and Capterra's got it. But more than just all the software, and I mean all, Capterra also has 800,000 real reviews by real users. Capterra vets them all. They're very careful to make sure those reviews are not hyped. They're not from a competitor. They're real reviews by real users. And that means you're getting the straight scoop on every program you're interested in. The search engine makes it simple. They've got checkboxes. You check the features you want. You leave unchecked the features you don't want. It'll give you a list of software that matches your exact needs. You can even compare them side by side. Look at the reviews. Pick the ones you want to try and you're done. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. No wonder millions of people use Capterra every single month. I hope you're using it, and if you're not, or if the time comes when you need new software for your business, you ought to try Capterra. And, you know, the way I've described it, you're probably thinking, well, that'll, you know, it's probably $20-$30 a month, right? No, it's free. Free. There's no upsell at all. It's just free. I know. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Capterra, it's true because we use it. I know. Capterra.com/tech guy. Find the right tools When the boss comes to you and says, Smithers, you need to find me new software, you know where to go. Captera.com/tech guy. Captera, software selection simplified. Captera.com/tech guy. We thank him so much for supporting the Tech Guy Show. You support the Tech Guy Show by using that special web address, captera.com/tech guy. Now back to the show. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Let's see. Let's start the hour with a great call. And I know that's what I'm going to get when I hear from Robert in San Antonio, Texas. Hello, Robert.
I don't believe it, Leo.
You made it. You made it. Hallelujah.
You remember me. It was 27 years I was waiting to get a hold of you. Here it is only now.
Well, you and I have gone gray in this in all that time.
Oh, boy, I tell you.
Welcome.
Wonderful.
Thanks for your patience. I really appreciate it.
That's no problem. I got nothing but time right now. Here's my problem. I bought the Alcatel A621.
Yeah.
It's called the Pixel Glory smartphone.
Well, that is a rather fancy name for that phone. The Pixie Glory. Yeah.
The Pixel Glory, and that's the whole descriptor of it.
Yep.
I've been sitting here while I've been waiting to talk to you about it, trying to figure out as much as I can to help me find out what I'm looking for. One thing I really hate about it is they keep making you upgrade the basic software that you need for the phone to work, and it's slowly but surely running me out of space where I can't, you know, keep upgrading.
It's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to what we call upgrade in place, which is take the same amount of space but just put something newer where the old stuff was. So you're running out of space on that thing, huh?
That's what I thought they'd do. Well, that's my secondary problem. I'll worry about that.
It's not. I have to be honest. It's not the biggest. These when you get an Alcatel phone, they're inexpensive, and one of the ways they make it inexpensive, they don't have a huge amount of storage in that thing.
No, it doesn't. That's what I was trying to figure out here while I was looking for.
In fact, I would. If you ask me, you never should get an Android device with only 4 gigs of storage because you're gonna have this problem. You're not gonna be able to update it.
Yeah, you're gonna eat it up real quick. Yeah. Anyway, that's my secondary problem. I just wanted this thing really basically so I could use it with my primary problem. Why I called is that I can't get it to call through Wi-Fi. I can't get it to see my Wi-Fi system here.
Yeah,
and It just gives me error code 99, Reg 99, it says.
Are you on Straight Talk? Who did you get this from?
I just bought it from Walmart.
Yeah, so you're on Straight Talk, Walmart's.
No, I'm not on their service. Oh, for the service for the phone itself, I'm actually on the government program.
Got it.
It's
the Obama phone.
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, but who is the cell carrier?
The carrier is a track phone. It should be.
It's a track phone. Okay. So it may be that the carrier doesn't support Wi-Fi calling anyway.
Oh. Well,
so in order for you to use Wi-Fi calling, both the phone and the carrier have to support it. And generally speaking, lower-cost phones on lower-cost carriers do not. That's a high price spread. You know, and so my guess is it just doesn't support it. It's interesting. That phone sounds like it does. It has a switch for it, obviously, or you wouldn't get the error.
Right. Well, yeah, it does have a switch. You can turn it on and off.
Be my guess that
what I basically wanted it for, and I got around it by using what do you call it?
Viber or one of those programs, Skype.
No.
WhatsApp.
Oh, I can't think of the name of it.
See, this is the way to get around it is to use a data-only calling system. And almost all the messaging programs now have that built in.
See, that Messenger is what I was
Messenger,
using.
Facebook Messenger, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you can even install the light version.
Yeah.
And they have a light version for Facebook also.
Perfect. That's what I would do.
What I use that for is that if I want to do it without
exactly
minutes on the other one.
Exactly. Can I tell you the dirty little secret of Wi-Fi calling on Verizon and T-Mobile and the other companies that support it? They still charge you minutes, even though it's your bandwidth.
Really?
Yes. So you don't want it anyway.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, I don't think TracFone actually supports Wi-Fi calling. And so that switch is useless. Turn that off. But you found the right workaround, which is to use a data-only phone service like the free one from Facebook Messenger.
Right, right. Yeah, because I knew I had my Wi-Fi set up here. And I knew before I even registered this phone, I wanted to make sure that it would work with my Wi-Fi.
Perfect.
Perfect. Through Messenger.
So you're getting data. That's all working. It's just this.
Hey, you taught me well. I've been listening to you for all the 27 years.
Oh, Robert, I'm going to burst into tears here. Thank you. I'm glad it's working for you.
She's been in love with you, too.
Oh, what's her name?
Hello.
Hi.
Massive crush on you.
Oh, my goodness.
Way back when.
Okay. What's her name?
Josie.
Josie, I'm blowing you a kiss. Mwah.
She can see it with a delay. She'll be able to see
She'll get a kiss in about a minute. She'll get that kiss. It takes a little while to get all the way to San Antonio.
Oh, I tell you, it just blew my mind when I first got through that at first time. And I said, hey, I've been waiting 27 years trying it.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I think, Robert, you know what you're doing. You figured this all out. The best way to do it is, and you're smart. Use the light version of Facebook because you don't have a lot of free space on that phone.
Right. It doesn't allow you to. Is it because of the cheap phone that I can't store? Because it'll handle a 32 gig SD card.
Oh, that's good.
But what my problem is, it only allows me to put certain things on there. Like
that's
able
right.
to let me put. It'll let me put ES File Explorer.
That's right.
Maker, Facebook Lite, Messenger Lite, Translate, and VLC. That's the only six that'll let
me
put on there.
I'm impressed. Robert, you're a geek. Does Josie know this?
Hey, it's only thanks to you. you're the man.
So the rule on Android is if it has a widget, you can't put it on an SD card. And most apps now have widgets. So you're doing exactly what you can do. The problem is that 4 gigs means there's not enough room to download and install an update. Once it's installed, it would eliminate the extra space. But in order to install it, it has to download it. You'd have to have enough extra space to download it and install it. And you just don't.
It was such a cheap phone. It was $23.
Yeah.
I bought three of them.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell?
You know what? You figured out a workaround, which is great. Use the SD card for what you can. That'll help save space. Right. Make sure when you take a picture, if you use it for camera, put it on the SD card. Like, any music.
Now, I'm recording you right now, and it's using it directly.
Exactly. Put that on the SD card.
On the SD card.
And data can always be stored there. It's programs that have limitations about storing on the SD.
Okay.
Yeah. So just always put your data there. That's a good place to do it. You have very limited storage on the internal storage, but you're saving a ton of money. And you figured out how to do a better thing, really, than Wi-Fi calling, which is to use your messaging app to make the calls.
Well, the other minutes that they give me, I don't know why. I don't know if I should say this over the air, but they're giving me more than they should, and I'm not going to stop them.
Probably don't even need them. That's the funny thing, right? I mean, nowadays, who makes phone calls? Robert, love to you and Josie. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Don't wait another 21 years to call, okay? David's on the line from Anaheim. Thanks for calling, David.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Two questions, sir.
Yeah.
I have a Galaxy Note 8, and wanted to get your thoughts on whether Bixby or Google Assistant would be a better choice to use if I wanted to get a Siri-like experience.
So I think they're kind of coexistent. All of Samsung's Galaxy phones have Google Assistant on them. Bixby now is their big push, and I think Bixby has an interesting future because Samsung
is a big, big company. They don't just do phones. They make TVs, washing machines, and they bought SmartThings, which is a home automation company. They make a big hub. And it's my guess that Bixby will be their home automation play. For now, what Bixby does on your Note 8, and this is even more so on the newer Galaxy phones, is a companion to the phone. So I don't know if you've played with it all, but you use it. You have a Bixby button, so which you can't disable, so you might as well get used to it. Bixby is really good for opening programs and doing things in those programs. It's kind of a phone assistant as opposed to Google's assistant, which is more like an informational assistant. And here's the thing, and I don't know if this is yet available on the S8, but on the S9, they have Bixby routines, which are fantastic. So you can say something like, "Good night, Bixby," and it will change the settings on the phone to nighttime settings. Or when I arrive at work, my Bixby is set up with a Bixby routine to automatically mute the phone, go on Wi-Fi, the work's Wi-Fi, things like that. When I get in the car, it just turns off Wi-Fi to save battery life, pairs with the car. There's a lot of nice features that are Bixby features because Bixby knows the phone. Google doesn't really know the phone. It knows the outside world. So I think they coexist.
Well, I think mostly what I'd use it for is interfacing with apps, you know, opening up a chat or a password manager or something like
Google
that.
Google does not do a good job of that, and Bixby does.
Oh, okay.
You can open apps, but Google doesn't know as much about the phone as Bixby does. You can, for instance, use Bixby to open a video editor and actually make edits with Bixby. So
that's perfect. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, here's I guess my bottom line. We got several assistants. All have strengths. Amazon's Echo. We've got Google Home. We've got this new Bixby. I mocked Bixby when it first came out, but as it has evolved, it's gotten better and better. For instance, you can do voice dictation with Google, but you can also do it with Bixby, and I find Bixby does quite a good job. I can press the Bixby button and have the translator launch, and it can do real-time translation. Yeah, Google can do that too, but Bixby's kind of integrated more tightly into the phone hardware, and so I think it's worth spending some time on both, and because I think the long-term future for Bixby is good compared to, say, Microsoft's Cortana, which seems to be dying on the vine, I think effort put into the Bixby, if you're going to stay in the Samsung ecosystem, is well worth it.
Yeah, that's perfect. And no real security concerns?
Not that I know of, no. And I think Samsung, I was just talking to, I was at the RSA conference, big security conference. I was talking to, I better not name what agency, somebody who does government work. And they use and recommend Samsung phones because of the Knox security. That's the phone they're allowed to use and approved to use. So I believe that the Samsung phone, for among Android phones, I think Samsung's actually are the most secure.
Okay, excellent. And could I ask one other quick question?
Sure, sure.
I have a home network with some Windows 10 PCs and some Apple devices attached to it. I'm looking at getting a personal VPN and was wondering if you had a recommendation such as Nord or any other.
We have a sponsor, so I'll tell you the sponsor, but I'll disclaim it first. They're a sponsor, and that's ExpressVPN. You know, there's a really interesting article I just read about NordVPN and ExpressVPN.
That's the other one I was looking at. So super.
Yeah, I would say they're fairly comparable. But what's interesting is neither the CEO of NordVPN kind of in this article was smearing ExpressVPN because they said they never say where they're from. I think they're from China, but they never say where they're from. It was it was a New York Times or somewhere I was reading this article. It was hysterical, and I think it was just FUD coming from NordVPN. They're in a bitter competition, but I also think what's interesting is neither company is too forthcoming about their ownership. And if you're if you're paranoid, you might say, "Oh, they must be owned by the Chinese government." I don't think so. In fact, ExpressVPN is widely used by Chinese dissidents, so that means they trust it. And recently there was a case in Turkey where they had arrested a dissident, I believe in Turkey, and they they took the ExpressVPN VPN site that he had been using, hoping to get information about what he was doing on the internet, and were thwarted because there was nothing on the server. And that is, while you're not going to get too much independent confirmation of the reliability or privacy of a VPN, that's pretty good. If the law enforcement wasn't able to use ExpressVPN's server to get information about a dissident, that's pretty good. You know, you can always, the other side of it, the non-paranoid point of view is, if you own a VPN company, you probably don't want to talk too much about where you are, where you're located, where headquarters is. It's my understanding that ExpressVPN and NordVPN are both headquartered in the Caribbean, in small Caribbean islands.
Yeah, Nord lists as Panama and ExpressVPN as the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah, but in both cases, those are holding companies. So we don't know who the real owners are, which is probably the best. A VPN, a virtual private network, people use to protect their privacy, but they're also widely used by people who are trying to connect to the internet in countries where the internet connections are restricted, where it is illegal to be a dissident, where you could get in real trouble for criticizing the government. And both Nord and ExpressVPN are widely used by people like that. That tells me that they are not owned by any one of the malicious, the Five Eyes or the Chinese or Russians. That they're good. I think they're fine. And I've been using ExpressVPN. They're very fast. I like them a lot. So that'd be my personal recommendation. But honestly, I think Nord's probably fine too. But it's just difficult to find out real information about these companies. They're naturally very secretive.
No, understood. And the last part of that, can you use an app like Remote PC with Nord and ExpressVPN?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, because that traffic kind of is within they do the authentication within the connection. So it's not, it's not harmed by the VPN at all.
Perfect. Exactly what I was looking for, Leo. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It's hard to get real honest reviews for VPN services because there are a lot of affiliates out there who say, oh, this is the best because they're going to make money on it. I don't make money because you buy ExpressVPN. I make money because they run ads on our podcasts. But whether you buy it or not doesn't make me more money. And I honestly think they're very good. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. He's been everywhere, my friends. He's Johnny Jett. He's breathing the mountain air. He's our traveling guru. Joins us each and every week to help us travel better with technology. Hi, Johnny.
Hello, Leo.
Where are your travels taking you these days? You're getting all over the world again, doing that
all traveling all over. And
do you ever get tired of it? Do you ever just want to stay home?
You know, since I have a son, yeah. I don't want to travel without him, but I'm very fortunate to do what I do. I get to travel the world usually on someone else's dime.
There's another one on the way.
There is. So that's going to
Be a lot of work. You know, children is more than twice as hard.
That's what I heard. I heard one child is like having one, and two is like having 20.
Well, three at least. So it gets it's logarithmic or something. It's exponential. It really is. So do you think you'll still be able to travel when the?
I hope so. Well, you know what?
Your wife Natalie, who is a Pinterest influencer, she travels a lot too. So you have some incentive.
Oh yeah, Jack's flown 60 times already.
He's
just turned two.
Wow.
So and he didn't fly the first 8 months.
Was he scared?
No, the guy loves it. He loves flying. Actually, we flew one time not too long ago from Lanai to Honolulu. It was only a 20-minute flight, and he flipped out because the flight was too short.
Those scare me.
He tried to get back out.
Those little puddle jumpers, that scares me.
I don't like them either. But you know what? Usually in Hawaii, it's nice. And
it's a pretty view, that's for sure.
Yeah, the weather's usually pretty good. And you know, that's why Hawaiian Airlines actually just came out again. I don't know how many years in a row. They're always the number one airline on time departures because of the weather.
That's what I'm flying when I go to Hawaii next week. I'm going to Kauai on Hawaiian Airlines.
But the chances of your flight being on time are very good. I think 88%.
I guess that's okay. I'm used to flights being a little delayed. That's kind of normal. Because we fly out of San Francisco, which is the opposite of Hawaii. It's like fogged in half the time.
Oh, yeah. For SFO, those rates go down big time. I think SFO is probably one of the most delayed aircraft.
I think we're flying out of Oakland for that reason. Yeah. Yeah. Oakland's a lot
better. Blame you. Yeah. And that's why I flew into San Jose on this trip.
Yeah. So what can I do for what can I do for you? What can we talk about today?
What can I do for you? What so can I got you do for I me? Have a I have a website called Atlas Obscura. Have you heard of this?
Oh, I love this site. I don't know anything about it though, but every once in a while I get a link to it, and it's always fascinating.
Yeah, actually, someone a couple weeks ago mentioned it in the chat room, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I've ever featured it. So we featured it on my website, and now we're featuring it here. So
where did they come from? What is the story with these guys?
You know that. I'm not sure, but it's been around, and now they have 15,900 amazing, strange, surprising, and often incredibly niche things to do and see in destinations around the world. And actually, there's one in Petaluma. So let's see if you know about this one.
Okay.
The Rancho Obi-Wan Museum.
I do. We've done a piece on it because it's so amazing. Yeah, this guy's a crazy Star Wars collector, but it's not open to the public.
Oh, it's not open to the public?
Well, I think you can make a reservation and go see it. You can't wander in.
Okay, because I think everything on their website is open to the public.
I think you probably have to arrange ahead of time because it's just this guy's house.
Is it his house?
Well, it's kind of, yeah. I mean, it's like he's got a ton of stuff in there. He's got every collectible known to man.
Yeah, so then I looked up Manhattan Beach, and there's this one big sun piece that's in downtown Manhattan Beach, but I never, you know, I walked by it, but I never even thought of it. And they featured it. That was the only thing from Manhattan Beach.
So cool. Atlas Obscura. And, you know, that's a good tip. I should check it out before we go somewhere to figure out if there's something weird and interesting to look at.
Because it sounds like most of the stuff in here you won't find in regular guidebooks.
No. 17,000 unique places and foods, 9,000 stories, 1,000 events. And 348 travelers. So I guess it's kind of almost like a wiki, right? I mean, it's
growing because actually 2 weeks ago when I featured it, it had 15,900. So it's already grown over 1,000.
It is amazing. So, it is amazing. They have a book too.
They do have a book, and that's actually one of the ways I heard about them. But yeah, it's a great resource to check out for anyone who's traveling and find out what's in your hometown. Cause a lot of people don't even know these things that are in their hometown. Like I didn't.
Atlas Obscura. Yeah. Every once in a while I'll get them in a search result and I always enjoy it, but I never think of just going there and reading, and there's a ton of stuff.
There really is
stuff. Really fun. All right. So, and there's no charge as far as I know, I guess.
It's free. It's all free.
Yeah.
It's definitely free.
It's just, just some guys have found it, and boy, did they do a good job.
They do.
All right.
So I got an app for you, too.
Yes, sir.
So you might have heard of this one. It's been around. Actually, they changed the name. So it used to be called Vigilante, and now it's Citizen.
I just read about it in the paper.
That's where I read about it in
the New York
Times.
What a story. Yes.
And so it's free on iOS and Android. So when it first came out, they were trying to get people to find, you know, film videos of crime scenes or
whatever.
It's
called Vigilante. It kind of implied that you would see this crime in action on your app and run to it and get involved. That the police didn't like.
It
ended up getting pulled off the App Store. But they just took the same app and changed the...
They rebranded it. So, but now they're not telling people to go to the crime scene. They're telling people to stay away from it. So the reason why they're telling people to download it is because they have a bunch of workers, I guess, who are listening to all the emergency radios. And so they're transcribing it and putting it on this app so you know where the hotspots are. So in case you're traveling somewhere and you want to stay away from, you know, what's either on fire or, you know, some big crime scene going on.
That doesn't work in every city. They're L.A., nope. New York.
Baltimore.
San Francisco. Yeah, Bay Area.
That's it. Those four.
Yeah. So if you're not in those areas, it would be fun. Actually, probably more fun because then you'd be glad you're not there.
Right.
Because it's like a litany of horrible things happening all around you all the time.
It is. So, I mean, again, you know, last week we talked about nervous travelers, and we don't want anyone to be nervous. But, you know, some people like to have as much information as they can have. So this might be something for them. Actually, when I looked at it last week, and a sample day for Midtown Manhattan said, you know, a pedestrian struck by a cab, a man was robbed by a woman, man robbed woman of wallet, report of
I feel like this just encourages our worst behavior in a way, right? Like in our worst, you know, fears.
I mean, I you know, a lot of people think that the worst four-letter word in the dictionary is fear.
Yeah.
And it's especially true.
I mean, just even the amount of local and national news that we're consuming now, which just makes you feel like everything's going to hell in a handbasket. This is hyper local, right around you, bad stuff.
Yes. Well, we talked about it last week. How, you know, don't be afraid. But you know, before I started traveling the world, I was afraid of everything. And again, I was one time I was going to Malaysia. My friends were like, "Are you crazy? You're going to Malaysia? They're gonna hang you if they find, you know, any dope on you." And I never smoked pot or do drugs or anything, but they had me so freaked out that someone was going to plant drugs in my bag that before I got on the plane, I emptied my bag completely to make sure that no baggage handlers or anything did anything. But then you get to these countries and you actually feel safer there than you do at home.
Yeah, I don't want to encourage people to be afraid. My poor mother, who's 86, and of course I understand it, but she's afraid to go out of the house because she watches, you know, 24-hour news all the time.
Right.
And it just makes her think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, maybe it is, but no, it's a not. Big world.
Everyone knows about it these days. You know, thanks to social media, everyone knows what's going on. I think it's always been the same. And I truly believe, I think 97% of the people in the world are good, maybe even higher than that. And that 3 or 2 or 1% of the people who are bad, they get all the headlines.
Johnny, I have to go. There's a shots heard in a bank around the corner. A man wielding scissors in a Safeway. A knife has been displayed on Fernwood Drive. Reports of a loose coyote at Garfield Street. Polk Street assault with a weapon. A trailer engulfed in flames in Revere Avenue. These are all real. I gotta go. Johnny Jett. You're scaring me, Johnny.
Sorry. I don't mean to scare you.
He's our travel guy. Don't be afraid. Go to his website, johnnyjett.com. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you, Johnny.
Take care. Aloha.
Leo Laporte, aloha, the tech guy. And it is your turn on the Tech Guy Show. Don in San Juan Capistrano. Hi, Don.
Hi. Have a couple of suggestions for your Hawaii trip. One is something I've used for years called the Hawaii Revealed series.
I'm writing it down right now.
I have found them to be accurate. They do everything anonymously, and they tell it like it is. They also have apps available. You can go to their website and check it out. One thing that adventure we liked was the backcountry adventure going to the irrigation ditches.
Really?
Not
the first place I'd want to go.
you float in a tube, and my suggestion, get a half wetsuit before you go in.
Oh, okay.
Water, and it's cold.
Yeah.
But if you have a wetsuit, then you should be just fine.
Well, I am a fan of tubing. It sounds a little bit like tubing, so I think I will
enjoy that. They are available on the other islands, too. But,
nice.
That's highly recommended.
Thanks for the tips.
Now, my two questions are personal locator beacons and wireless trail cameras. I've checked both of them on the wire cutter, and they don't have anything.
What? Really?
Yes. And personal locator beacons are so helpful because being satellite communications to the local search and rescue, if the couple that died in Joshua Tree last year had one, chances are they would have been alive.
That's right.
It's not just for hikers. It could be for anybody who gets in a serious situation.
So what you're talking about are PLBs, personal locator beacons. There are also devices that can send SOSs called satellite messengers. So,
Some of them can be two-way communication.
Right.
And there are a number of them available. REI has some and so on. But the reviews seem to be contradictory at times, just like they are with the wireless trail cameras.
Right.
And I'm hoping you might have some ideas, or maybe the group might have some ideas, about what actually works in the real world. In the wireless trail cameras, I run a string of trail cameras to monitor mountain lion travels.
Oh, wow.
Really enjoy not having to traipse out to the areas to check on the SD cards each time.
We interviewed a really interesting nonprofit that does wireless monitoring of the rainforest, and they actually build their own using old repurposed iPhones, and they are also wireless because they use they must use cell signals, but apparently they're able to do it even in the rainforest, and it's kind of a very cool thing. I'm no expert though on which wireless trail cameras work, so I don't have any experience with these personal locator beacons, although I've had people call before and talk about them, and I know there are there are different networks, they're competing networks. There's information that you probably should get. And you mentioned REI; they have a very good page on REI's site. I'll put it in our show notes. How to choose between a personal locating beacon and a satellite messenger like the Spot. So I'll put that in the show notes if people want to read that. And then anybody who has are you looking for a recommendation for a PLB? It sounds like you know all about those.
Yes, I'm looking for something to try and separate the wheat from the chaff.
Okay. So that would be, I'm just going to send this out to our chat room and anybody listening to the show, we can talk about it. And then secondly, wireless trail cameras. I wish I could remember the name of that group that was doing these cameras in the Amazon, because it was a really...
Well, maybe when you locate it, you can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I will. And of course, one of the advantages of our show notes is everybody can add to the show notes at any time. I want to make it a resource for the whole community. The show notes are at techguylabs.com. We divide them up.
Found when I was trying to ask your question in the chat room, it's kind of like trying to drink from a fire hose.
I know. The chat room, you get enough people in there all talking at once, it can get crazy in there. So yeah, if you monitor the chat room, you'll also find information there. But yeah, I think the website's a good resource, techguylabs.com. And if you have something to add on this, we divide the page up into shows, each show up into hours, each hour up into calls and segments, and you can go right to this segment. What is it? It's segment number 4, hour number 2. Episode 1580. So you can go right there on the website and you can leave a comment. Now, we don't charge for the use of the website. We don't ask for sign up, but we do ask you to log in if you're going to leave a comment with your Twitter or your Google or your Facebook. And that's really not because we want to know anything about you, but just we want to slow spammers down. So then we find.
Is there any way to transfer iPod music, or am I stuck with it?
Oh, yeah. Hurry to do this quickly, because iPods die. And if that's your only copy of the music, you got to make a backup. You got to get the music off of it. And there are many ways to do it, both Windows and Macintosh. The reason is when Apple made the iPod, the music industry was terrified. They said, Steve Jobs, you've just made the best piracy device in the world. Thousands of songs in your pocket could also be thousands of songs on your friend's computer. So Apple made a concession to the record industry when they designed the iPod. They made it so that you couldn't just plug it in and look at the files. Now, if you have a Mac or a PC and you can plug it into a Mac or a PC, you can, with iTunes, transfer the music from the iPod to iTunes if that's the only iTunes you've used with it. The minute you try to do that with your friend's iTunes, it'll say, okay, but I'll have to erase the iPod first. And everybody says, wait a minute. No, I don't want to. The good news is that's really a kind of not very significant way of preventing this. There's a program called Snooty, for instance. That's a Mac program. It's iTunes backwards.
And I'm a PC guy.
Okay. There are also equivalents on the PC that can read the files, copy them off, because it is just a USB connected hard drive. It's just that they've kind of obfuscated the file names and the information. So a third party program can access the files, and then it needs to be able to understand the XML index files that are associated with it and match the songs to the XML file. And that's not that hard to do. Let me look for a, I can't remember a good one for the chat room will know, but I can't remember a good iPod extractor for Windows. Let me just look real quickly. It's not a hard thing to do. Actually, I see a number of free ones, but I'm always nervous about the free ones.
Yes, they often come with malware.
Yeah. I've used these. I just don't remember the names off the top of my head. They're still, by the way, the chat room, is, and I don't know if you've noticed, is still talking about beacons and cameras. They're still on the last question you had. Oh, yeah, iExplorer. There's a good one. I know that one. iExplorer. It's from macroplant.com. And it will let you transfer those off. The key is it's got to not only see the files, that's easy to do, but then it has to match the files up with the separately stored information about artist, title, and so forth.
Okay, because I would love to transfer those onto my
computer. Oh, you need to. Yeah, you need to do that as soon as possible. That iPod won't last forever. The disk in there, you know, they die, and at that point you'll lose everything. So you absolutely.
I have the latest version of it.
Okay, so, still. One copy of anything is not safe, no matter what.
Agreed.
Agreed.
I go with a 3-2-1.
Yep. Good. Well, you only have 1-1-1 right now, so let's increase it. iExplorer, I've used that one. That's a good one from macroplant.com. It's not free, but it's good. It will work with Windows or Mac. So
sounds great.
All right. Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's kind of a weak copy protection, a weak anti-piracy feature, but Apple thought, we better do this. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. More calls coming up. Our show today brought to you by, as always, boy, I think for a decade now, Carbonite. Now, something has changed with Carbonite. We always just say Carbonite backup. You know, you want to get it back it up to get it back and do it right with Carbonite or whatever it was. Now, I want to change it a little bit. Carbonite's still the premier, you know, backup solution, but it's more. Really what they want to say, and I think this is really true, and it is a slight difference, but I'll explain why it's different. They're the data protection experts. In fact, the number one data protection platform for business. What is data protection versus backup? Well, backup's part of data protection, but there's really a lot more. See, in business, data is everything. I mean, it's one thing on your personal hard drive. You don't want to lose family pictures and emails and stuff. But a business, you may have a legal obligation to keep all that email. You may have a financial interest in keeping your, customer list, supplier list, accounts receivable, all of that. You might want to keep that safe, right? Sometimes in business, you lose your data, you've lost the business, and certainly you've lost a lot of money. I look at the businesses bit by ransomware. Last year, Merck, the pharmaceutical company, took $300 million in tax losses, in losses on their tax. $300 million losses thanks to ransomware. Man, they should have had Carbonite. Carbonite offers scalable, secure server backup solutions. Yes, I'll use the B word, with flexible deployment models, flexible recovery options, like, for instance, high availability backup, which means you're constantly replicating. You're replicating to the cloud, and you have cloud failover. So if something horrible happens at your place of business, ransomware eats all the computers, no problem. Flip a switch, you're still up and running with no downtime. They have backup and recovery, of course, for physical drives, but also virtual machines, cloud-based environments, over 200 operating systems, applications, and platforms. But I have to tell you, there's one thing that makes Carbonite stand out. It's a single vendor that does it all. If you're using one provider for server backup, another for endpoint protection, a third to protect your critical systems, that's too complicated. It means many people to in the mix. Most companies now are looking for a single vendor solution, and that's Carbonite. Yes, enterprise-grade endpoint protection with remote wipe capabilities and end-to-end block-level encryption, of course. Look, Carbonite has the technologies for you to build a comprehensive single vendor, underscore that, solution for your workloads, your risk tolerance, your business objectives. It means you can simplify your environment, eliminate gaps in your data protection, reduce costly redundancies, and they are a secure, trusted provider, one number to call with somebody there 7 days a week, the best customer support in the business, ready to help you. You're never alone with Carbonite. Learn more about Carbonite's data protection platform for business at Carbonite.com. If you're in business, you want to stay in business, you need to go to Carbonite.com and learn more. Thank you, Carbonite, for supporting the Tech Guy Show. Now, here we go, on with the calls. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Hey, hey, hey. This is the show where we talk about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, anything digital, anything with a chip in it. And I'm going to go right back to the phones. We've got a lot of calls waiting to get through. And we'll kick things off with JT in Huntsville, Alabama. We've spoken before, haven't we, JT?
Yeah, JT. Leo, a longtime listener. Really appreciate all you do as a tech guy and your Twit Netcast Network.
Thank
and you know
you.
I'm a good listener because I said Netcast.
You said the right word, didn't you?
That's right. Listen, whenever it comes to tax season, I really get frustrated because I kind of want to take the Republicans' approach and have a small little index card to fill out, but I also want the Bernie Sanders approach and have health care for all. I'm a mixed-up politician because last year I filed online and I missed a document about the health care, the marketplace.
Oh, no.
And now I'm finding out
they fine you
in jeopardy because where do I go online to file taxes? What are the sources out there and what's the best one to use?
You know, I use TurboTax, which is a long-standing program. And now I obviously don't do my own taxes anymore. Thankfully, I've got a wife who's a CPA and an enrolled agent, so I let her do it, and she doesn't even do it. She sends it out to somebody else. But TurboTax, when I do my mom's taxes, my son just did his first income tax statement. He's finally earning a living. He's 24. So he had his first income tax to file, and I told him to use TurboTax. And for him, it was free. If you're using the 1040 EZ, there's no charge. They do charge you if you want to use a full 1040, and then I think they do the federal free, and then they charge you for the state or if you want to do electronic filing. But I think TurboTax is going to be most likely to highlight all the things that you want to remember to do. The problem is that the Affordable Care Act is a moving target, and there's a certain amount of stuff that you are responsible for. And I don't know if the tax forms will prompt you to do the right thing there. But I have to say, if anybody will do it, it'll be TurboTax. If you want to get more fancy, they have started offering a real, and you see it in the ads too. You can actually kind of Skype into somebody. It does ask. Yeah. Oh, okay. John's telling me it does ask about the ACA enrollment and the eligibility. And yeah, you have, because they want to know, the feds want to know that you got that insurance. Otherwise, they will, they'll charge you. So, yeah, John uses TurboTax too, because he's nodding. So, if you're filing, you better get going. You got a few more days to do that. But I use TurboTax. Nice thing about TurboTax, it used to be you'd have to go to Staples and buy a CD and install it and all that stuff. Now it's all entirely online. And I find it very straightforward, very easy to use. I do it with my mom because I don't want her paying. People were charging her $700 a year to do her taxes, and that just hurt my heart. I just said, Mom, it'd take me 20 minutes in TurboTax. Please, I beg of you. And it's true. It only takes me 20 minutes in TurboTax. It takes me about 3 months to get her to send me all the stuff I need, but it takes 20 minutes to do the taxes. As far as I know, that's the one I recommend. And I'm looking in the chat room, and I think pretty much everybody is in agreement there. Now, make sure you collect all those forms, and forms start coming January 1st, and you got to get them all together and make sure you have all that stuff. And you reminded me, I better ask my son, make sure he filed his taxes properly and accounted for the ACA. You have to prove that you were enrolled in a health plan, as I remember. After that, you're good to go. So have fun this tax season. It's almost, have you finished them this year or are you just starting?
Leo, you are a gentleman and a scholar. I'm hoping I'm getting them done right now as
good.
I'm talking. So
good.
I appreciate that. What I want you to become is a politician, Leo, because we don't agree on everything, but you believe in meritocracy. You believe in the value of worth.
I do.
I think a lot of geeks feel that way. So, Leo, when you get done with this radio show, go out and run for an office.
Never. Never. No, I appreciate that. Thank you for the kind words. I did at one point, I briefly did my civic duty and served on a advisory board for the city of our little city of Petaluma on digital stuff. I did it for about 6 months and it almost made me insane. You have to have a certain personality, I think, to work in politics. I'm afraid. But I thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We are getting close to tax time, and this would be a good subject actually for the show. What do you use? What are you doing? We've come a long way. I started, I was doing my own taxes maybe when did I stop doing that? when I met my wife. But even before then, I think I had a guy. I went to a guy, and he did it. I had some bad guys, too, I have to say. In fact, at one point, I think I was, at the same time as I was paying this guy to do my taxes, I was firing up TurboTax and just to check, just to keep an eye. And actually, given the free online stuff, maybe that isn't a bad idea, even if you have somebody else doing your taxes. They've gotten, I think, over the years, really good at just kind of walking you through and asking the appropriate questions and all that. There are countries, you mentioned it, JT, there are countries in the world where you get a postcard from the government that says, your tax bill is this, sign here. Because they've been doing it all along, and the employer filing and all that, and you don't have to do anything. I don't know if I'd want it that way. As much of a pain in the butt it is to do taxes, at least if you have a computer and access to programs like TurboTax, it's not the worst. I'm going to get Henry in here, my son, and see how it was for him. I was so proud. Your first income tax. I said, did you get a refund? He said, yes. I said, then you paid too much. you need to change your withholding. Let's see here. I think we're out of time in this segment. So what I'm going to do is get you ready. Coming up, we've got Dick DiBartolo, Mad's Maddest Writer. Maybe we can get a tax time gadget out of him. And a reminder that next week I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go to Hawaii, for a couple of week vacation. But there's good news. The wonderful, the fabulous Rich DeMuro from KTLA-TV will be filling in again for me. It's brave of me to do this because, frankly, Rich is too good. And it's just a matter of time before the radio station figures that out and says, Leo, stay on vacation. You don't feel like you have to rush back. You got this DeMuro guy. He's pretty good. And he's better looking than you, to be honest with you. So you just stay in Hawaii. Website is techguylabs.com. That's where we put all the answers to all the questions. We put audio and video from the show after the fact up there. There's 1,579 shows up there. You can go back in time and see what we were talking about in the year 2004. You can also leave your comments, and that's helpful if you hear something. If you've used something besides TurboTax, you want to recommend that. TechGuyLabs.com. And it's always free. There's no sign up, no money. We don't want your email address even. Just it's there for your use. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. And we go back to the phones, taking some more calls here. Line one is Henry in Prescott Valley, Arizona. Hello, Henry.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm great. How are you?
If I were any better, I'd be twins.
What can I do for you?
I have been a fan ever since your first day on KFI.
Wow, back in 2004.
That was.
Wow, yeah. 15 years ago.
At least. And when we moved to Prescott Valley, I started watching you on twit.tv because we don't have a radio station up here.
Well, I can't thank you enough. Thank you very much. Twit is our podcast network, twit.tv, This Week in Tech. I'm glad you found us.
Oh, I've been listening long enough. I knew where to look.
Good. I don't plug it a lot, but I like to throw it in once in a while. So thank you for giving me that opportunity.
No problem at all. I've got a rather unique problem. For 50 years, I was a workers' compensation investigator in California.
Okay.
And I didn't do any of the surveillance or any of that stuff. It was all strictly straightforward investigation, interviewing people, examining the site, gathering evidence, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of despair that there doesn't seem to be much interest in this occupation anymore, which was very good to me. And, you know, these kids today. But anyway.
So, but it's got to still happen, right? I mean, you still have to investigate these claims, right?
Somebody's got to,
is it private insurers or is it the government? Who does this investigation?
I did all my work for private insurers. Okay. I had a private investigator's license.
Oh, you were PI. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And did you do it on staff or were you contracted?
Well, both.
Okay.
I was self-employed for 15 years, and then my last 17 years, I worked for a company that did the same thing.
How do you learn to do something like that?
A lot of it's experience.
Yeah.
And that's my point. I'm afraid there's no way that most people can learn today, and there are very few insurance companies that train anymore.
Yeah.
So what I've been thinking about doing is developing something akin to a podcast. I'm not sure that's the format I'm looking for. But what I'd like to do is put together a teaching program of maybe 8 to 10 episodes of about 40 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
Explaining first the law. And then, because that's the hardest part to learn,
mm-hmm.
and then recommending investigative techniques.
Do you want to do this for fun or profit?
Either way.
Okay.
If I can sell it to an insurance company, I'll be happy to take the money. But if nobody's interested, I would put it up somewhere where somebody might want to listen to it.
So it sounds like what you want to create is a MOOC, a massively online classroom, or actually mm-hmm. the extra O is open. So massive open online course or classroom. And there are, as you may know, there are a lot of MOOCs out there, especially for technical skills like computer programming. You know, there's Coursera and Udacity, and Harvard has its own called EDX. And there's a whole bunch of these. MIT has OpenCourseWare, but you can make your own online class. There are tools for this, and I think this sounds like a really great idea. Do you want to do video or audio, or do you want to have slides?
I can do either.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you had a system that let you do all this, it would be a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a couple of companies that actually do this. They have tools for creating your own online course. There's one called Teachable, teachable.com. Google has their own course kit to help you plan and design online courses. I suspect they're going to be a little bit more technical focused. There's a company called Eli Atomy that lets you create your own. That's a terrible name, isn't it? Create your own online courses. Eli Ademy. What a terrible name.
Academy, Eli's Academy.
But yeah, I think that's probably where it came from. Teachable is a little easier to remember. But I would browse around these and see. What they're going to offer is a set of tools, ways to record audio, ways to create slides, ways to create quizzes and lectures and, what we call courseware. And mm-hmm. in many cases, these also offer a directory that you could put your course in. Usually that means not much, except it gives you a place to promote to, so you want to do some marketing and promotion on your own and let the world know it exists. But if it's there, then people can take the course. You can charge for it if you want. In many of these places, it'll allow you to set your own fee, or you can do it for free. Some of these places are kind of committed to the idea of open courseware, giving it away for free, so you'd have to decide. I'm looking. I see a whole ton of them. Udemy has been around for a very long time. Udemy. That may be the best known of all of them. The only issue I have with Udemy is that because there are people who've used them as a platform to steal others' courseware put up there, sometimes the reputation – I think there's some excellent courses on Udemy, but they have a little bit of a mixed reputation because some people say, oh, they stole all my YouTube videos. You know, some jerk stole all my YouTube videos and put them up on Udemy.
But on the other hand, Udemy's the best known of all of these, and you're more likely for people will find you. Again, it tends to be more engineering and so forth. But I think it's I've seen classes on investing on Udemy, algebra, confidence on camera, online Japanese. So there's a pretty wide range of store stuff. I think that's probably where I'd start. But you can look at these others, too, to see which tools you like the best. But, you know, again, promotion is going to be on you in the most cases because, you know, you're not getting much promotion. They're going to give you the tools and a place to host it. I think it's a great idea. Honestly, I think it's the future of education. And I think especially somebody who's an expert, a master in the field, you know, there aren't going to be a lot of – you're not going to have a lot of competition in this. And I think it should be somebody who's really done it for a long time and really knows it. I think it's a great idea.
I'm really more interested in passing on what I know
exactly.
than worrying about being compensated
yeah,
for.
Exactly. Well, here's an opportunity, and you might make a little money on the side as well. You get to charge whatever you want to charge. Udemy courses tend to be very inexpensive, but on the other hand, if you have thousands of people taking it, you'd be doing a good thing for your business and maybe make a little money on the side. So I think it's a great idea. Good luck. We'll put a link to some of these in the show notes at techguylabs.com, but let's start at udemy.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. And back to the phones we go. Line 3, Gary in Cape Cod. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Leo. Thank you so much for taking my call. How's it going?
It's going great. My pleasure. People usually leave Cape Cod at this time of year. You're a year-rounder, huh?
Well, I'm a year-rounder. I drive 18-wheelers all over North America. I just happen to be home now.
Nice.
It's not bad, the temperature here now. It's probably about what it is in Petaluma now.
Yeah, probably. We used to go to Cape Cod in the summer when I lived in Rhode Island and always loved it. It's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah. Now, before I forget, don't forget Stanford Open University.
Oh, okay. We were talking about online courseware. There are a lot of great ones. Stanford has the best courseware in designing iOS applications. It's the one everybody should take, and it's free. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
And regarding cameras in the woods, that the demographic that likes that best are the hunters.
Really? Why is that?
Well, they track the...
Oh, I see.
Behavioral characteristics of the target species, and then when it comes time to have dinner, you just go out and match your gun to that behavior pattern.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I imagine there are also a lot of naturalists who just and man, you could see some. I've seen some amazing pictures. There was a couple of weeks ago, somebody posted pictures of a black leopard. That it was a very rare creature, but they were able to capture images of on exactly that, a camera just kind of attached to a tree, because, of course, the leopards are very shy.
And just recently there was something like that on National Geographic with the snow leopard.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that cool? See, I like it for that. I don't want to see those hunted. I just want to see them. That's very cool. Very cool.
Now, so, one more thing for Mr. Investigator. IT Pro TV has a whole bunch of independent contractor wannabes listening to them every day. So if he were to contact IT Pro TV with his content, he might be able to make a match made in heaven.
Interesting. Do they do stuff? I know they're a sponsor, of course. Do they do stuff besides technology and IT stuff?
Well, it sounds like he is,
maybe it'd fit. Yeah.
It would fit into security.
Good point. Good point. He's a private investigator. Absolutely. You're right. Maybe it is. Yeah, IT. Why did I not mention our own sponsor, IT Pro TV? Thank you.
But
you're doing a better job for them than I am, Gary.
Leo, I love your work. I love everything
you.
You've put into it.
Appreciate
over
it.
The years. And
appreciate
I could testify to a whole lot more than I have today.
Thank you.
But I started out as a Windows guy. Then I got my beloved PowerBook. But obviously that reached the end of its life a while ago. And so I got my Skull Canyon. But I still miss Little Snitch.
Oh, yeah. Little Snitch was a great little security program. It could be a little annoying. It's still around. The idea is it would watch outbound traffic. The theory is if you get a bad guy on your system, first thing he's going to do is phone home. So Little Snitch would watch to see if anybody's phoning home and let you know. Of course, initially, when you first put Little Snitch on your system, there's a lot of alerts because you have a lot of legitimate programs getting on the internet. But once it settles down, pretty darn cool. It's available still from Objective Development, OBDEV. Yes,
they don't offer anything for Windows, I bet.
Oh, something like Little Snitch for Windows. You know where I'm going to go to?
Yeah,
that's a good idea. I'm going to go to Alternative 2. Do you know about Alternative 2?
No.
It is alternative2.net. And so what you do is you type in Little Snitch, and you do a find, and it will tell you alternatives to Little Snitch on Windows or Linux.
Okay.
Yeah, Alternative 2 is a really nice little thing to know about. I shouldn't tell you. It's my secret weapon. Alternative2.net. And I just searched for alternatives to Little Snitch for Windows. Glasswire is a free network security monitoring tool. NetLimiter. There's Zone Alarm. That's been around forever. I'm not sure I'd recommend them these days. Look and Stop. There's a bunch of them. Wallix Pro, App Network Counter, Enjoy Firewall. But what's nice is you can read the descriptions of these. It's a crowdsourced recommendation engine. So generally it's by people who use the applications and they have pros and cons and they're fairly reliable reviews. So I would say it looks like there are a few things that will work for this. But I would read carefully. I'd start with Glasswire. It's got the most votes, and it's free.
That's great.
Yeah.
You, as always, you rock.
I'm just a good Googler.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. You rock too, Gary. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, visualize network activity in detail. This is cool. I've never heard of this, and I'm going to download it. Get notified when new apps access the network. Exactly what you want. And it sounds like it's open source. So kind of a cool looking threat monitor. And because it has it's crowdsourced and it has the votes, and this by far the highest vote getter in this category, I think it'll be well worth trying. It's a pretty good indicator this is a good program. We're going to have time for one more call before Dick DiBartolo, Mad's maddest writer, joins us with his gizmo of the week. Line two is Larry in Temecula, California. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I was listening earlier today about someone that said, you know, I don't want to spend $1,000 on an iPhone, but I got a 10R for $800, and then they gave me $200 for my 6S.
Oh, nice.
So you really can get a really decent phone, and from what I can tell, the 10R it's an amazing phone in terms of battery life.
It's actually my favorite. It's definitely the best battery life in the iPhone line.
Yeah.
It doesn't have dual cameras, just one, so you don't have that nice little switch to tell a photo. And it doesn't have an OLED screen, it has an LCD screen. But honestly, I think it's the sweet spot, if you ask me, given the price.
I think so too.
Yeah.
That's what I've told my friends.
I agree with you.
This is a good deal. So related to that, we're going to be going to France coming up in May and June. And I thought through this idea after listening to you of maybe taking my 10R, since it has an eSIM, and make my Verizon account an eSIM, leaving the slot open so I get to France.
There you go. There you go.
But do you have any experience with that? Do you know if that'll actually work?
I don't. It's very common nowadays in phones sold outside the U.S. to have what we call dual SIM capability. And right. In those phones, and they're all Android, there'll be a setting in the operating system that says, for phone calls, use SIM-1. For data, use SIM-2, and that kind of thing. You need a way to tell the phone which SIM to use if you have dual SIMs. There are dual SIM iPhones. They're not sold in the U.S., so I would think iOS would have that capability.
And I looked at it, I even called them, but it's such a new technology. When I called the Verizon people, they were, hesitating.
Ask the Apple Store people. They're going to be better. Because really, it's going to come down to, yes, you can do it. Absolutely. It's going to come down to what are the facilities built into iOS to let you say, well, from now on, use just SIM 2 for the data. Don't use the eSIM, that kind of thing. I'm sure that's in there, but I don't know where it is.
It is. But there is a setting based upon you can do it by person, you can do it by type.
Perfect.
It's really, it is really
as long as you can do that, it'll work. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, she told me, she said the only issue is that the towers in France, as an example, may not be able to communicate with.
So this is always an issue when you're buying a phone in one country, trying to use it in another, is the frequencies. Yeah. Don't worry about it. The iPhone works everywhere.
Okay. All right.
That's not a problem.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking about doing. Check me out. See if I'm okay. Go into the Apple store or go into the Verizon store. Say, convert me from a physical SIM to an eSIM.
Yes. Then when you get to France, get another SIM.
Yep.
Perfect. Yeah, I got to run. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, the Gizwiz, is next. Hey, today's Tech Guy show. I hope you're enjoying the show. By the way, yes, I'm in Hawaii. No, I'm here right now. It's very confusing. I know, but we recorded this ahead of time so that I could go to Hawaii and you would get a brand new fresh show. Next week, Rich DeMuro from KTLA will be filling in. That'll be fun. Meanwhile, I want to thank DigitalOcean for making our podcast possible. DigitalOcean, I talk about them a lot. I am kind of enamored of DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean is a scalable compute platform, a server in the sky for your web apps, for your websites, for storage, for everything you need. It's up there waiting for you. It's affordable. It's easy to use. You know, I remember the days when I, you know, first set up my blog with WordPress. First you have to go to a server company. I did. Called them up. Because that's how you did it in those days. I said, I need a server. And they said, all right, what do you want? I said, well, I want a lamp stack. Okay. You want CentOS? What do you want? Red Hat? I said, I don't know. Give me something. Okay. We'll have that set up for you Thursday. Okay. 5 days go by. Now they've got it set up for me. Now I have to install my software remotely, get it all working, and then I can finally blog, right? It was crazy. And I think about Kevin Rose, same time frame, setting up Dig, and he had to get rid of Colo, buy a physical server, install it, set it up. Those times have changed. In fact, you kids, you got it lucky. You got DigitalOcean, which means it's the simplest thing in the world. If I want to set up a WordPress instance, all I have to do is go to DigitalOcean, press a button, choose the operating system I want, choose the container. Yes, they support Kubernetes and Docker. Choose the container. Or use their one-click install, and I install WordPress. It's running. It's awesome in 52 seconds. Okay, 55. I don't know. You know, something under a minute. That is the most amazing thing ever. You are provisioned up and running, which means you can have an idea for an app, a website, a product. You could just – I use it all the time because I like to – I'm learning, you know, different web dev technologies. And so, I need Node.js today. So, boom, 55 seconds later, I've got a Node.js server running with a public IP address and console login, SSH login. I upload my SSH key so I can just use a key. You could get additional storage. There's CPU-optimized droplets, standard droplets, enterprise-grade SSD-based. You get capture backups and snapshots. There's a simple control panel, very easy to use API, lets developers spend more time coding, less time managing infrastructure. Kubernetes is awesome if you haven't played with that. And that's the other thing. I'm learning stuff all the time. So if I want to try Kubernetes, I don't set it up on my computer here. I go to DigitalOcean. The marketplace has everything. I mean, if you want Jenkins, do you need GitLab? You can have your own personal GitLab. Docker, LAMP, any LAMP stack. They also have a LEMP stack, LAMP and LEMP. cPanel, if you like that, MyPHP admin, WordPress, whatever you need, one click and it's installed in less than a minute. I just love it. I love DigitalOcean. I think DigitalOcean is changing the world. And nowadays, the young Kevin Rose comes along. He doesn't have to do anything. He goes, yeah, let me get that coding. And a minute later, he's writing his app on DigitalOcean. At no additional cost, you get monitoring and alerts, 99.99% uptime, and that's an SLA, so that's an agreement. You get team accounts, cloud firewalls, full DNS management, 12 global data centers all over the world. I always choose the one near me, but they're all over the place. There's one near you for sure. That means you have the connectivity, but also the redundancy. So if you actually put this up as a production server, and people do this all the time, you're never going down. You know that. That's great. The best service to your customers. And, of course, world-class support 24/7, 365 days a year. DigitalOcean is, it's like the future, man. DigitalOcean's trusted by over 1 million developers. I love it just as somebody learning technologies. I can try stuff out. And then, by the way, the droplets are inexpensive. I usually get a $5 a month droplet, 0.7 cents a minute. Plenty of bandwidth and CPU for anything I want to do. And then when I'm done, one button, I destroy it, and I start something else. I currently have several droplets running because it's fun. Go to do.co/twit today. Do for DigitalOcean. do.co/twit. No com there. It's do.co/twit today. Sign up and receive a free $100 credit. What? That'll last you. do.co/twit. Free $100 credit for DigitalOcean. Designed for developers, built for businesses. Thank you, DigitalOcean, for supporting the Tech Guy podcast. And thank you for making a product that has changed the world. I use it all the time. Do. I'm playing with Docker now. It's just really interesting. do.co/twit. We thank them for their support. We thank you for your support by using that domain so that they know that you saw it here on the podcast. do.co/twit. Now back to the show. Oh, I'm a disco fool. So is Big Pee Wee, our musical director. He loves playing the disco for this guy right here, wearing his satin shirt, and his platform heels.
Yes.
I like that. Necklace you're wearing. Of course, it's unbuttoned all the way to his navel. Dick D. Bartolo, Mads, maddest writer, and the Gizwiz. Hello, Dickie D.
Leah, how you doing?
I am great. Getting excited. You know, I'm going to Hawaii next week. Rich DeMuro will be here with you.
Oh, great. Yeah, yes. I met him at CES and
nice
had a
guy.
Great time out there.
Yeah.
Oh, he's super.
Yeah.
He's super.
He's at KTLA in Los Angeles, but he used to be at CNET years ago. And great. He's good looking. He's young. He's intelligent. I hate him. What do you have for us, Dick?
Well, I have a new, there's a new store in New York. You know, I do this podcast with Chad Johnson, and Chad is always bringing these gadgets from a store called Five Below.
No, I don't
Do you
know
have
it.
One of those?
No.
Oh, okay, okay. There are several in Texas. So Five Below are gadgets, and everything is $5 or below. Okay.
Oh.
And they
so we have dollar stores, but this is $5 stores.
This is $5 store. Yeah. Okay. So I think they're probably better gadgets. And so they opened in New York City, and they opened on Fifth Avenue. Okay.
Oh, highly I get it. Five below on Fifth.
Yes. Well, it's Five Below for another reason, because how could they afford a store on Fifth Avenue, the most expensive real estate in the city? So Dennis and I went to Five Below, and the entrance is on Fifth Avenue, but the entrance opens up to an escalator that takes you way below.
So it's literally below Fifth Avenue.
Yes.
That's
so
cool.
It's Five Below below.
Yeah. I love it.
So they have great stuff, Leo. So you know, I didn't want to buy the typical things. They had every conceivable kind of external battery charger and cables and everything $5. So when I saw the box that said the LED mirrored wall fountain, I thought, this I need. And natural rocks included. And it says because of the mirror, it's double relaxing. I really needed it.
I need double relaxation.
I needed it just for the box copy. So it's a little waterfall.
Is there actual water?
Oh, yes. It's actually running water.
Oh, that's cool.
And a little LED.
With your fireplace from a couple of weeks ago. You got everything you need. You just need a little tiny house to put it in.
Exactly. And if the fireplace catches fire, I have water. I can throw it out
perfect.
From the fountain.
Perfect.
And they have a lot of fun stuff. So I also bought Basket Head. All right.
What's Basket Head?
Basket Head, I put pictures of it on my website. Basket Head is a basketball hoop that you wear on your head.
What
Where
could
else?
Possibly
okay?
go wrong? And then people what throw balls at you.
Exactly. And then it comes with 20 balls, 10 red and 10 white. And then you can have contests to see whoever got, you know, one team is the red team, one team's the white
Where's
team.
Where's the basket itself? Is it
where on your head?
Like, what do you mean on your head? Like, where?
Go to Gizmus.com.
I see what you mean. It's literally above your crown of your head.
Yeah.
And then people are trying. But do the balls hit your head? No, there's a little basket, so they don't.
No, except the one guy threw it and hit me in the mouth with it.
I see that.
It's got stuck in my stash.
Honestly, you hope that the people you're playing with are very good at basketball, because otherwise you're going to get hit.
Well, they're very lightweight. They're like thin plastic ping pong balls. Exactly. Okay. And that was $5. So we went to look.
That's a good price.
No, it's a great price. I said, Dennis, we're just going to look. If we see anything, we'll just buy it. So we each spend $50.
Yeah. That's 10 things each.
Yes, exactly. And they have, you know, lesser things. They have a clothesline. It's called the photo clothesline. You hang it on a wall, and then it comes with tiny little clothespins to hang photos from.
Oh, see, that's cool. So you put it in your house in a hallway or something, and you got pictures on it. I like that.
Exactly. And if you're not near one, they do have a website, fivebelow.com. So it's a lot of fun stuff. And
Cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, they're getting ready for Easter on the website, so they got all sorts of Easter stuff. So that would be
I have to go back.
Yeah, you didn't get your Easter stuff, did you?
No, I didn't.
Does the Easter bunny come and visit you and Dennis?
People in the chat room, Five Below, they have flying toys, someone said. Oh, they did. I remember. They had the Mickey, the flying Disney something. So they have closeout stuff, and then they have, I think it's called Room to Room, which is their own brand. So it's pretty neat.
Nice. Well, Easter's pretty late this year, so you got a little time to get your Easter basket. They've got everything Peep, so I got to go there. Everything Peeps?
Oh, are you a Peep person?
Do they have Peep furniture? What do you mean, everything Peeps? They have a chicken coop cookie building kit.
You know, they have chocolate-covered Peeps.
Peeps marshmallow pancakes. Syrup-flavored. Yes. Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, that's the new flavor. Oh, no, you think that's disgusting?
Oh.
Pancake? Oh.
Peeps are disgusting anyway.
Oh, no.
Peeps look like there was an accident in the factory, and a guy said, well, what are we going to do with all these mouse-shaped, malformed marshmallows? And another guy says, well, they kind of look like chickens. Maybe we could sell them. Doesn't it? You think they did that on purpose? It looked like it was a mistake, honestly. These are like marshmallow seconds.
All right. Okay. It could be.
Do you eat these?
They're using the 3M. Dennis does. He loves
them. Does he really?
Yeah.
Here's I like this. This is a $3 stress and fitness ball. It's basically a workout die. You throw it. It's like, I don't know how many sides, 15, 20 sides. And whenever it comes up, you have to do it. 30 Russian twists, 20 push-ups, 20 tricep dips. That looks painful, actually. But I might get this for my wife because she's kind of a fitness enthusiast. Here, honey.
Get basket head for yourself. Said, honey, I got two things, one for me.
I could totally see how you and Dennis went in here innocently thinking, oh, we'll just look.
Yes.
$100 later.
I know. It's just because you think, well, it's stupid, but it's just $5.
Exactly. That's how they get you. A faux fur inflatable ottoman cover. Don't you know you've always wanted one of these?
Yeah. I wonder if they're still open. Let me.
So you can, if you don't have one near you, there's a Five Below near your browser.
Exactly.
Five is FiveBelow.com. They spell it all the way out. Now, Dick is always a browser away as well. His website, gizwiz.biz. For a picture of him with a basket on his head, go there and click the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guy. But after you're doing that, click the What the Heck Is It contest button, because it's a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. All you have to do is identify a close-up picture of a gadget that, honest to God, it looks like maybe it's a suction cup holder for soap or something. It's something. I know it's something.
It's something.
I know it's something. I just can't.
You're very close with something.
If you can.
Don't answer something, but if you get the right answer, you're in the running for 6 Mad Magazines autographed by Dick D. And if you get the wrong answer, there's 12 of them, but they have to be clever and cute. So I keep trying. I have never won, not once. Fortunately, I happen to know the author, so he sends me from time to time an autographed copy of Mad. GizWiz.biz, that's where you also find his fantastic weekly podcast, GizWiz.tv with Chad Johnson. You and Chad should just go to the Five Below store and you can
live broadcast there. Live from there. You
should
do
the Five Below show.
Absolutely. You know, I love your chat room, Leo. So when you were talking about the rolling thing with the exercise, someone said, do you have to do all 20 push-ups within the same month?
No. One a month. No. It'll take you 2 years.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dickie D.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.